Ring the bell, sucker. This is Movie Fighters, the show where Chris Sims and I, Matt Wilson, we watch movies and beat them up. Most of the time, they're movies. Sometimes they're two television specials. That's right, yeah. Folks. We're going back to Canterlot High.
For one of them, we are.
That's true. One of them takes place at the high school. Absolutely none.
Yeah. Matt, can I just say that was upsettingly good Foley work?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Like, I respect it, did not enjoy it.
Fair, I'll take the criticism and learn from it.
Take the compliment instead.
Okay.
So yeah, we're watching, we got an Equestria Girls double shot. Because
that's right.
When these were released to Netflix fairly recently, people let us know.
People let us know anytime an Equestria Girls thing happens.
Anything. Not just new movies. Anything. Anything.
And look, we would stop doing these, but people keep asking for them.
Would we stop, Matt? Because honestly, at this point, don't you want to see how it shakes out?
I mean, I guess. I think, okay, I'll take back we would stop. And instead I would say we might pace these out a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Except people want it. People want these. This is our second piece of Equestria Girls content of 2018.
Well, it's getting on the end of the year.
That's true. We did the three-part series earlier this year that consisted
I forgot we did that.
That consisted of Dance Magic, Movie Magic, and Mirror Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Those all came out in 2017. The ones we are doing this time is the two-part TV special series that includes Forgotten Friendship and Roller Coaster of Friendship. Both of these aired on Discovery Family. Forgotten Friendship aired on February 17th of this year, 2018. Roller Coaster of Friendship aired July 6th of 2018.
Before we go any further, I just want to say this. Forgotten Friendship, great title. Great title.
Yes.
Roller Coaster of Friendship, very bad title, in fact.
I want you to break this down for me.
Uh-huh.
Now, Forgotten Friendship obviously has alliteration on its side.
Yes.
What else makes Forgotten Friendship a good title and Roller Coaster Friendship a bad one?
I mean, Matt, the question is, do you want to pull back the curtain and reveal what we are doing differently this time?
We have already seen these.
We've already seen these.
Yeah.
Is the thing. Look, it's holiday times. Scheduling's a little tight. So having already seen these, I can tell you, Forgotten Friendship is about a forgotten friendship. Roller Coaster of Friendship has a roller coaster in it and is mostly about social media.
Well, would you like to know something else, Chris?
I am always hungry. I crave new knowledge.
One of these is good, and one of these is bad.
One of these is pretty good. One of them is boring, which is the weirdest thing. That we have gotten to the point where these weird parallel universe My Little Pony movies that are now just about... It's 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo now. It's just, let's track down some artifacts. It's a D&D campaign. It's The Adventure Zone balance with horse girls.
Well, it's all this magic from Equestria, mm-hmm, coming into the world of these human-looking girls that go to high school. That's what every one of these is about. It's a monster of the week, but it's not a monster of the week. It's a magical item of the week.
It's a magic item of the week, except it's of the every 6 months or so.
Yeah, that's right.
So, before we get into these two, I have so much trouble remembering what has happened in these. I did not remember there was a three-part, like, series until you said it.
Well, part of why you didn't remember that is because it does not come up in here. Because as you will recall, Movie Magic introduced a new character that seemed as though she was going to become part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
She does not.
Yeah. She doesn't become part of the group. And also Forgotten Friendship introduces a new character that seems like she might become part of the group and does not.
Yeah. There's Juniper Montage.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the two of those episodes of the series. She's in Movie Magic and Mirror Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Starlight Glimmer is in Mirror Magic. Neither of those characters appear.
Yeah. We had the first Equestria Girls movie. That was the one I think we had the most questions about.
Yes.
That was the one where Twilight Sparkle, who is a horse, came to not Earth, but Earth Girl, right? Can we separate them that way so that it's Earth Horse and Earth Girl?
Well, the weird thing about this is that the planet Earth is mentioned in here, in one of these episodes.
Well, Earth ponies are mentioned.
Earth ponies, right, yeah.
Earth ponies are mentioned, which raises questions about terminology.
Correct. As far as we can tell, World Equestria Girls consists of one high school. Well, actually two high schools, because there's a competing high school, right?
Right, that comes in Friendship Games.
So two high schools. Something of a town, because we've seen people's houses. We've seen their homes.
We've seen some businesses as well. Like malt shops. I'm pretty sure there's been a malt shop at some point in this.
There's a movie studio.
There is a movie studio. There's a movie theater.
There's a movie theater. There's a camp.
There's a forest where the camp is.
Correct. There is now a theme park.
Uh-huh.
But as far as we know, there's nothing else to this world.
There's a beach, which means there's an ocean. Okay.
Oh, right. Yes, there's a beach. The world is slowly expanding.
I mean, it's very comics Riverdale, right? Where there's whatever geographical features and businesses need to be there for what you want to do. Like, well, let's go to the beach. Okay, so there's a beach. Oh, let's go to the mountains. Okay. Why not?
Yeah, and it is a microcosm, right? It is a world unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
If someone leaves town, they might as well fall off the planet.
Yeah, we don't know where they've been. But we did get in one. Okay, we're not going through the plots. We're not going through the plots. we're doing what we always do, which is we get hung up trying to figure out what this is.
Okay, well, we're going to do more figuring out what this is when we get into the specifics of these two television specials in mere moments. But Chris, before we do that, let's do the hottest segment in all of podcasting.
So you don't want to recap the earlier films?
These are all recorded in audio, and people can go listen to them if they want to hear us talk about the earlier films.
Okay, you know, that's fair. Yeah, Matt, let's go ahead and do it. Let's do the hottest segment in podcasting.
Snack situation. Chris, what are you snacking on? As we talk about Forgotten Friendship and Roller Coaster of Friendship, as we mentioned, we've already seen them. Or what were you snacking on when you watched them?
I did. I snacked while I watched. I made sure to snack while I watched. Now, I snacked after dinner. I made a panko and parm encrusted chicken thighs with orecchiette tonight.
That sounds delicious.
It turned out really well. But while I was watching the film, of course, it was dessert times. So I had some Ben and Jerry's peanut butter cup ice cream, which is a great movie watching snack.
Yes, that sounds wonderful. I also am going for sweet. I snacked on these while I was watching, and I have the bag in front of me now. All my Halloween candy transferred from a pumpkin pail to a plastic bag as of yesterday. And so I'm trying to get rid of this candy. I currently have a bag of milk chocolate M&Ms open in front of me, a small bag of M&Ms. There are Starbursts in here. There are Kit Kats in here. And there are a few Goldenbergs peanut chews.
Listen, here's the thing I know about this boy. He loves Kit Kats.
This boy loves Kit Kats. And actually, I probably have fewer Kit Kats than anything else in here. So I might fish one out. But the Kit Kats did get eaten. So that's going to do it for snack situation. Chris and I are going to take a little pause here. You're going to hear a musical interlude. Then you're going to hear an ad. And then we are going to jump in to trying to figure out all the details of these two My Little Pony Equestria Girls specials, Forgotten Friendship and Roller Coaster of Friendship. And we are back from our break. And Chris, which one of these do you want to start with? I mean, Forgotten Friendship did air first.
What order did you watch them in?
I watched them in the order that they aired, even though I didn't know that it was the order that they aired. It's just the order that they came up on Netflix. I watched Forgotten Friendship first, then I watched Roller Coaster.
Right. I did the same thing. I think we should talk about Roller Coaster of Friendship first, because A, it does not matter which of these comes first. They're very episodic. And
yes,
B,
unlike the series, which was pretty sequential.
Mm-hmm. That was one big story broken into parts.
It was fairly serialized between Dance Magic, Movie Magic, and Mirror Magic. Mm-hmm. These two pretty totally unrelated to each other.
Yeah. I think we can blow through Roller Coaster of Friendship and then really get into Forgotten Friendship.
Okay, well, we said at the beginning one of these is good and one of these is bad. Roller Coaster Friendship is bad.
Roller Coaster Friendship is bad. It's very boring.
Yeah.
Because it is a lesson. The lesson is, hey online friends, the lesson is get off the bad website, actually.
It's get off of Instagram more than anything. Because Instagram is the social network that is hinted at most, I feel like.
Yeah. What we see in this looks like Instagram.
Even though it's called, what's it called? SnapGab?
I think it's called SnapGab. Yeah.
Which
it's not
seems
best.
To be nodding towards Snapchat, but it's definitely not Snapchat.
Basically, there's so much going on in this one, is the thing. It's got like five plots. Because it's got the girls get a job at an amusement park. That's a movie.
Well, then it's got only one of them actually gets a job there.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm just saying, if you were gonna pitch it, I would pitch this as the premise. Oh, they're all gonna get jobs at the amusement park, and then one of them is gonna think that the other one is not her friend anymore.
Yeah. So to really get down to it, Applejack and Rarity have both applied for jobs at the new amusement park. Mm-hmm. They both want to be candy apple girls. That is, I am not making that term up. That is what they say.
That is in the film.
That is the official title of that job. Candy apple girl.
And you'd think being named Applejack and like having an entire, like an entirely apple-based style would be a plus. It is not.
It is not. Applejack is not hired. Rarity is hired, but for an entirely different job.
Yeah, so Rarity gets hired as a costume designer, right?
Correct. By Vignette Valencia, who is the park director?
I have no idea what she's supposed to be. Because she, here's the thing. She's in charge of the amusement park. But what she is she's like an Instagram model and a celebrity.
Correct.
Which doesn't, those are different ideas.
And I don't think she's actually supposed to be the same age as the rest of the friends of the pony girls. Well,
she's tall. Don't call them pony girls.
But she acts like she's their age.
Yeah, but she's taller. So I think she's supposed to be older. Like, she's, because she's not in school, is the thing. She's a celebrity. She's an adult.
Yeah, so I guess we could say she's probably supposed to be, like, in her 20s, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yes, she's an Instagram model slash social media star.
Yeah.
Somehow she has parlayed that into at least being what you might call the programming director for this amusement park.
Yeah, well, they're going to do a parade that is about her. So I think the implication is that she is a guest of the existing amusement park. But because we don't know anything about this world, we don't know.
But she's hiring employees for the amusement park.
She's hiring employees, but she seems to be the boss of everyone.
Yes.
But she also is hiring employees specifically to work on this big parade that she is going to star in.
But she's also hiring people who just work at the amusement park. Case in point, she did not hire Rarity to be the candy apple girl because instead she hired the nerdy kid.
Mm-hmm.
Whose name I don't know.
That's Microchip.
Okay.
Yeah, that is true. I forgot about that. That is a weird plot point.
So seemingly she is overseeing this entire theme park. Because we don't see any other authority figures for the theme park.
No, we did. See, it's like chunks of different plots grafted together. Because this doesn't have to. The whole thing with the Instagram celebrity does not have to involve an amusement park at all. By no means.
Right. I don't know why it involves an amusement park. It does have to be an Instagram celebrity thing because we find out that Vignette Valencia's magical item of the 6 months is that she has a phone with which she can take a picture of a thing and absorb that thing into her phone, then replacing it with a simulacrum of that thing. She realizes this.
A hologram.
She realizes this when she takes a picture of a salad. The salad disappears, and then she replaces the salad with a hologram of a salad.
Yeah, it's bananas. And it's bananas when you think that she's just sending people into the internet, which is what you think the plot of this movie is going to be, until the third act twist.
Which is, and we'll just give it away, they're not going to the internet or to some limbo, which mirrors a plot point from Mirror Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Where the girls got sent to a sort of limbo place.
I thought you were going to say it was like that episode of Black Mirror where the guy puts people into his digital Star Trek world, the Callister.
Oh yeah, kind of like that too. Anyway, what we find out is that it's just a room. She's just sending them to a room.
Yeah, and it is a featureless white void. And then later on it is revealed to be just a room somewhere. It is specifically referred to as some random white room in the park.
Yeah, some room that is on the park grounds.
Yeah,
that just had a locked door.
It's a nice little bit of comedy, but it's a very weird plot point.
And it kind of doesn't make sense. And it leads to The threat being that the idea is that Vignette is going to send too many people into the room during the parade, and there won't be enough space for them.
Yeah, and they will all be literally crushed to death. Which is, that might be the darkest plot point we have seen in an Equestria Girls movie. Because even when people were turning into Satans, they weren't like, and then I'm going to murder you by crushing you. Like, that didn't happen.
No. And I don't know that her intent was to send people to their deaths by crushing.
No, because she doesn't... That might actually make it even darker. But she, like, at one point, the reason you think that she's sending people to the internet is because at one point somebody's like, hey, where did you send my friends with your phone? And she goes, I don't know, the internet, digital realm of ones and zeros, I don't know. Which is also hilarious.
In addition to all of that plot stuff, there's a separate plot about Fluttershy and Rainbow Dash going on roller coasters, where Rainbow Dash is trying to work Fluttershy out of her shyness and being scared of the rides. And then it turns out Rainbow Dash is a little scared of them herself. There's another plot involving, who is it that's trying to win the ring toss? It's Sunset Shimmer and who else?
And Twilight.
And Twilight. Oh, right, because Twilight is, Sparkle. Yeah. Twilight's working out all the angles. She's making the perfect trajectory with her math and science skills.
Right. It's so many plots.
It's a lot of plots. Pinkie Pie, as far as I know, doesn't really have a plot at all, because I think she gets sent to the... Does she get sent to the phone world first?
No, Fluttershy gets sent to the phone world first.
Okay.
And I think Pinkie Pie is second.
Okay. But all this stuff is going on, and nothing's really kind of happening with any of it. We just keep revisiting it occasionally. Like, the roller coaster riding, the ring toss... throwing. The ring toss throwing stuff ends up with an okay gag, but I don't know that it's exactly worth it.
It's certainly not.
This is the one that I felt like was trying to fill the time.
Yeah. I think, okay, so the gag with the ring toss is that Sunset Shimmer, who, if you recall, was a Satan but is good now.
Correct. We'll get to more of that when we get to Forgotten Friendship.
Yes, and Twilight Sparkle, who is a huge nerd, they are trying to beat a carnival game, a ring toss carnival game, where you throw the ring on the bottle. And the idea is that Sunset Shimmer is going to throw it, and Twilight's going to work out, like, air resistance and the angles and everything, like, literally working the angles to get it on the bottleneck. And it doesn't work because it's a con game. You know, we all know that. It's a and con.
Sunset Shimmer says from the get-go, this is a con.
Yeah. But they think they can beat it. And then they don't. And then they're like, fuck this. Because kids need to learn the value of giving up. They're like, fuck this. And then they just leave. And she throws the ring over her shoulder and gets it. And that's the punchline. I really think a much funnier version of this gag is that Twilight and Sunset Shimmer bankrupt these guys.
That would be funny. I don't think either one is worth the, like, 6 or 7 minutes of screen time this got.
No, it's an awful lot. It's a lot.
The thing with the roller coasters doesn't really go anywhere. And even the stuff with Vignette Valencia... Like, does she learn a lesson?
Yeah. I mean, at the end, she's like, she says what is the money line of the film, which is, it's something along the lines of, I've got 50,000 friends, but I'm all alone.
Right. Or 50,000 followers, I think is what she said.
50,000 followers, but no real friends is
yeah.
what she says.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, it seems like somebody new is getting added to the squad. But yeah. I doubt we'll ever see Vignette Valencia again.
Absolutely not. Guaranteed. Not the least of which because it would be very weird to have this 20-year-old Instagram model hanging out with what are supposed to be, I think, 10th grade girls.
Yeah, that's another thing that made it confusing about why, like, she was hanging out with them and she was around, because by the end of it, it's like, we'll be your friend. Like, she's part of the squad now.
Yeah, they go, well, you have one. And that is... then they leave.
Yeah.
And Valencia is back down to zero.
And, like, her parade was an absolute disaster and people almost died. She's going to get fired from this amusement park.
Yeah. Can I just say, I'm looking at Netflix right now, and I'm looking at all of the Equestria Girls titles right next to each other.
Yeah.
And the art that it is, the algorithm is providing for Legend of Everfree for me is the two people who run the camp. Everything else has the girls. The ones you keep calling the thing I don't like.
Oh, but yeah.
This one is just the two camp counselors.
Well, look.
Very weird.
All they have to do is give us a collective name for the group. I mean, I guess they are the Equestria Girls.
Yeah, I guess they are. But it's so complicated. Because, like, a thing that I realized watching this, why are they the Equestria Girls? They're not in fucking Equestria! Equestria is a different thing!
Well, speaking of going to Equestria, let's talk about Forgotten Friendship.
Okay.
Before we get there, though, I do want to mention that the Hasbro website does describe these girls as full-time students and part-time magical pony girls.
Oh, that's... Oof. Woof. That one's rough, buddy.
Chris, I've been right this whole time.
That somehow makes it worse. Not that you've been right, but that they're like part-time magical pony girls. Like, that's an unsavory phrasing.
Let's move on to Forgotten Friendship.
It's troubling.
Chronologically is the first of these. But again, the order doesn't really matter.
I would go as far as this. If you need to see, you kind of need to watch all of them. It's a lot like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You kind of got to watch all of them, but this is the one that I think it really pays off. I think this is maybe the best one.
I think so too.
The entire franchise.
Because it gets into some stuff.
Yeah. The first question we get is, wait a second, is all this music diegetic?
Right, because the whole thing starts off. And here's another question. Is Sunset Shimmer the lead character of Equestria Girls?
Yes.
Is she the protagonist of this show? Now that Twilight Sparkle, the pony, who was the protagonist of the first movie, has returned to Equestria to be a pony again.
Uh-huh. And now there's a second Twilight Sparkle who's a girl. I was mentally calling her Twilight Sparkle.
Uh-huh.
Because I think that's very good.
But she's obviously not the protagonist of the show.
Most certainly not. Yeah, I think this is the Starlight Glimmer? Starlight Shimmer?
Sunset Shimmer.
Sunset Shimmer. I'm sorry. Apologies.
There was Starlight Glimmer. Starlight Glimmer was in Mirror Magic.
Oh, God. It's so confusing.
Yeah.
Yes, this is absolutely... We are following Sunset Shimmer's journey as a character.
She is the character who has an arc.
Yes.
For sure.
And she is... Honestly, she is the most rounded character of all of them.
So this special starts with Sunset Shimmer singing a song that lets us, the audience, know that she used to be a murderer demon.
She used to be an exiled war criminal.
Right.
Who turned into a Satan.
She was a Satan, and she definitely did murders.
It's also a recap of the previous, of the movies, at least, if not the the special.
The series doesn't really come into it, but the song definitely recaps the movies.
Yeah, and we get these very awkward lines over footage of these movies, including special in every way, the gems chose us by name, referencing Legend of Everfree, where I completely forgot they got magic stones that gave them shoot superpowers.
Yes, yes. And we see some of those superpowers in this.
We see one of them in Roller Coaster, too, because Applejack lifts a parade float.
Also, Rainbow Dash runs really fast in that one.
Yeah.
But this one has Sunset Shimmer's superpower, which is she can touch a person and know their thoughts.
Bananas. I had completely forgotten that was anything.
Wild. Wild stuff.
Yeah. So they're singing a song, which it's also weird. They don't seem to have secret identities, right? No one is surprised when they start using their superpowers, even when they absolutely should be. Like, there's that part in Roller Coaster where Vignette, she hears the name of the band, and she's like, oh, the Rainbooms, why do I know that name? And I'm like, because they fought demons in public.
Yes. They fought a group of demons at a public battle of the bands that I believe was televised.
Yeah. So this, I mean, I guess it makes sense. Everybody knows their deal. It's very weird that everybody knows their deal, and it's even weirder that now someone is singing a song about, then we got our superpowers, and I wasn't a Satan anymore.
So, in the course of that song, Sunset is interrupted by Wallflower Blush, a member of the yearbook staff. We find out that Sunset is the editor of the yearbook. Wallflower Blush is a member of the yearbook staff, and she just wants to know if Sunset can stop singing and help them get to work on finishing the yearbook.
Yeah, she goes, I've been trying to get your attention since halfway through the song.
Correct.
Later on, she has a song that, while she is singing, there is, like, plot-related action going on, and then she has to stop singing her song.
Yeah, because
and then Sunset, later someone else talks about how long the song was.
Sunset is trying to search her backpack during that song.
Yeah, yeah.
So, according to this particular special, the music is diegetic.
Yeah, Roller Coaster of Friendship feels like it was cranked out at a factory. It's the hot dog of plots. It's whatever we got left, sweep it into one plot.
It's a mid-season episode.
Yeah. This one feels like it's written by somebody who gets it.
Here's something that's wild, Chris. They're written by the same person.
That is shocking. That is shocking. There's such a disparity in quality.
They're both written by Nick Confaloni.
Is that maybe like a house name?
I don't know. They also have the same directors, Ishi Rudell and Katrina Hadley. But yeah, they are the same credited writer on both specials.
Utterly mystifying. Utterly, absolutely mystifying. They're not structured the same.
No.
Because this Forgotten Friendship is very linear. So Wallflower Blush is on the yearbook staff. We find out that she's known Sunset Shimmer since what I assume was, okay, timeline. Follow me to my board where I've got the red strings. The first year of Equestria Girls, freshman year at Canterlot High, starts when Sunset Shimmer comes to Canterlot High from Equestria. She turns from a pony into a girl. She enrolls at a local high school, and then she's a mean girl for a year until Twilight Sparkle shows up at the end of that year, and then the climactic thing of that year is the battle where they blow up the front lawn of the school. Okay, that's the first movie, right? The first movie takes place at the end of the freshman year for the Equestria Girls.
Yes, yes, you have that right.
Okay, Rainbow Rocks is either during that year or early summer, because Legend of Everfree is a summer camp. So we are now in year two. This is sophomore year at Canterlot High, right? Because Sunset Shimmer hasn't been there for 4 years. They're not seniors, even though they're working on the yearbook. And they've been in school at least 2 years, because they have a previous yearbook that's about Sunset Shimmer being mean, that the whole school voted on her as... Shit, maybe this is junior year, because if she had a whole year as a bad guy, it's really tough to figure out, Matt.
Yeah, you gotta really shore up that timeline on your big board. Here's what we know for sure. Here's what we know for sure.
Okay.
Sunset Shimmer spent a whole year being mean. She got voted for a superlative, which there's only – the only year you ever get superlatives is senior year.
Did you get a superlative, Matt?
I did not.
I did.
What was yours?
I think have I not mentioned this on the show before?
I don't think so.
I got most unique, which is a devastating burn that haunts me to this day.
Well, unique is not a word you should modify anyway. It unique, you're either unique or you're not.
Well, I was most unique.
So wait, did you take that to mean just weird?
Yes.
Okay.
And at the time, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, most unique, awesome. But as I have become an adult, it was like, oh, I was getting dunked on by 3,000 people.
Well, I didn't end up being a superlative because I think I split the vote.
Okay.
Because I wanted people to vote for me as most likely to become president.
Okay.
Because I was one of those kids.
You're 35 now.
My fellow Americans. But I think people mostly wanted to vote for me as most intellectual. So I ended up being nothing.
Well, so you split the vote between two good ones. I'm over here being, look at this asshole.
I feel like you're taking that really badly when...
Devastating.
Most unique could be good. It could be a good thing.
Look, I will represent it as a good thing. I mean, look, also, it's not hard to be unique in a small town in South Carolina. I do think it was... I think it was a brutal own.
I mean, I ended up not being any superlative at all is kind of a brutal own and it's on its own. See, okay, I don't want to get too deep into this, but I was not the valedictorian of my class. I was the salutatorian.
I believe you've told me that before.
And our valedictorian was this guy who I did not – who I personally thought should not have been valedictorian.
Now, was that because you did not think he was academically suited to be valedictorian, or you just didn't like this guy?
I didn't. He was smart, but he was not like. Well, let me put it this way: he did things with his free time that I did not think were representative of being a valedictorian.
I mean, honestly, that could be anything, Matt, but okay.
He sold drugs.
He sold drugs?
Yeah.
God. How do you sell drugs in high school? I mean, I had classmates who I know sold drugs, but like, how?
Yeah. I don't know.
College
like,
here.
I was like, I don't even have a side business. All I do is take classes and make A's. Give me valedictorian, goddammit.
Well, Matt, anyway. I was not recognized for my academic pursuits because I am a fundamentally very lazy person. So you got me on that one.
I did get elected senior class president through a series of campaign posters that were jokes, but we can talk about that another time.
I think you've told me that story before.
Yeah.
Yes. The only time you get a superlative is a senior superlative, which also I think is hilarious because it means that, like, Sunset Shimmer was such an asshole that everybody was like, we're going to put in the yearbook that this freshman sucks.
Yep. Yep.
Which is pretty great, actually.
Whatever the case, speaking of the superlatives, after the song is over and after Wallflower has made her presence known,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember the magic pony's name.
Which magic pony? They're all magic.
The one who like is a magician.
Oh, you're talking about Trixie.
Trixie yeah. arrives. Magic Trixie arrives and demands her own special superlative, which is, greatest and powerfulest?
Greatest and powerfulest. Yeah. Trixie is never, I believe, called Magic Trixie on the show, but everyone else has a two-word name, so I just assume that her first name is Magic, because that only makes sense with what her deal is. But yes, she always refers to herself as the great and powerful Trixie, and she wants that enshrined in the yearbook, because, as they say, in 30 years, we might not remember much, but we'll remember what's in this yearbook. That is not true.
Absolutely not. Like, I mean, well, we just talked about what we remember from our yearbook, but
that, wow, I guess that's true.
Yeah, I gotcha. That's true. Boy, I gotcha.
Yeah, but I don't remember who anyone else was.
Fair. I don't remember who anyone else was either. I there's also discussion here, I should note, that all of our key pony girls have been voted best friends.
Yes.
And they're arguing over where they are going to go in the yearbook. First of all, they want to take a photo specifically for the yearbook for their superlative. Also, they don't want to be on like the opposite page of strongest, because there's a muscle guy who looks like a fucking horse.
I mean, in a way that even the rest of the characters in this do not look like horses.
He's got a horse face.
He's got a horse face.
They don't want to be opposite his page, because when they close the book, it'll look like they're kissing. Okay. But Trixie shows up and demands her own superlative, and Sunset puts her foot down. Absolutely not. We are not making up a superlative for you. That's when it's brought up that other people made a superlative for her, specifically for her, of meanest, which is a wild thing to enshrine in a yearbook.
Yeah, I do love that Sunset Shimmer terrorized this school and everybody got her back.
So after all this exchange,
I hope that went to print right before she became a Satan and then had a conversion.
And so, yeah, so by the time everybody got the yearbook, they were like, oh, I guess she's not mean anymore.
Yeah.
But after all this, the group of pony girls, the group of friends, they go to the beach to take this picture that shows they're the best friends in the school.
Mm-hmm.
When they arrive at the beach and Twilight Sparkle shows up, they don't know they don't remember any of Twilight Sparkle, or I'm sorry, not Sunset Shimmer. When Sunset Shimmer shows up, they don't remember any of Sunset Shimmer's reform. They start treating her like the mean version of herself, who was a murderer from a few years before.
Uh-huh. Who fled justice in another dimension and enrolled in a high school.
Right. Absolutely.
Why are they not? There are adults in this world. We see a lot of them. They're adults in when they're ponies. Like, Twilight Sparkle's an adult. She has a job. Why did they become... Never mind. We've been asking that question for... It's been years now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They are reacting to her. They're like, why are you here? Like, what are you trying to do to us? We don't want to... whatever you're planning, we don't want it.
And
no,
Sunset,
thank you.
And Sunset Shimmer's like, how do you not remember that we're friends now and I'm not mean anymore?
Yeah, we all have magic stones.
Yeah. Like, do you not remember getting these? And they're like, we remember getting them, but not with you.
Yeah. And then she touches Applejack's arm and sees her memories and discovers that she does not, like, she is, like, cut out of their memories. And then she's like, I just saw your memories and I'm not in them. And Applejack's like, how'd you see my memories? And I feel like she should have said, because I have a magic stone that gives me superpowers, also like you.
And yet she does not. Instead, yeah. She quickly concludes that this is equestrian magic. So she walks through the portal, which is now open all the time.
Well, I was wondering about that because I didn't remember if that had been a plot point either. But then they show the other side of it and Twilight Sparkle, Princess Twilight. We should just call her Princess Twilight. She has like a weird machine hooked up to it.
Yeah, I believe that was something from the series, from the three episode series. Whatever the case.
It is weird that anybody can just walk up to it and wind up in a horse dimension. I lean up against a lot of walls.
Yeah, like, I guess they become a horse for a little while. Sunset Shimmer goes back to Equestria to talk to Twilight Sparkle about what's going on and try to figure out what this is. Twilight Sparkle kind of doesn't quite know just from hearing about it. And concludes that they're going to have to go do research in the library. But to have access to the library, they've got to go talk to Princess Celestia, who is the person that banished Sunset Shimmer from the pony dimension.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Now, it seems like this is going to be more tense than it is.
I think, given that this is a 44-minute film, I actually think it does a pretty good job with this, because, like, when Twilight and Sunset walk into the throne room, which is weird, there is a throne there. I don't know why. She's a horse. Princess Celestia, her wings come out, and she does, like, a Galadriel on her, which is pretty, like, I like it. Also, there's a scene before this where Sunset Shimmer gets out her book, her magic book that she can text Twilight with, and is like, hey, are we friends? Am I nice? And I can identify with that feeling.
Against all odds, Princess Celestia says, you're forgiven. I can tell that you've changed. Your war crimes are expunged. Go do some research in the library to find out what's erasing your friend's memory of you. So, Twilight Sparkle and Sunset Shimmer. Sunset Shimmer, oh, by the way, is now a pony.
Yeah, and there's a really good gag where she comes through standing on her hind legs and tries to give Twilight a hug with her front hooves and falls over because she's a horse now.
And they do their research in the library. Eventually, they do find evidence of this stone that can erase memories.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that stone has been lost. There's a story about, what's his name, Clever something?
Clover the Clever.
Clover the Clever.
Which, why would you make him a guy? Like, why would you make this old wizard horse a guy?
No idea.
Because you already have, I mean, if you really want to get into it, you already have Starswirl the Bearded, who is Twilight's favorite historical figure. But, like, just make it a girl. They're all girls. Everybody's a girl. It's Equestria Girls.
Everybody except Horseface Muscles.
Yeah, don't like him. And Snips and Snails, they're also in this.
So, Clover the Clever was an equestrian unicorn who went up against an evil horse that used this memory erasing stone to erase people's memories and cause havoc. He overcame that other horse by being clever and writing notes to himself so that he would remember the things that he was being forced to forget. It's very Memento.
Yes, it's exactly the plot of Memento.
Except instead of writing them on his body, he's just writing them on pieces of paper.
Yeah.
After that battle occurred with Clover the Clever, we find out that the stone has been missing, and it may be in Equestria Girls' world. So Sunset Shimmer puts together some stuff in her head. She comes to the conclusion that Trixie must have the stone because she was mad that Sunset Shimmer wouldn't give her the superlative that she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And by virtue of the fact that Sunset Shimmer is gone and people don't remember that she's nice, she got the assistant editor of the yearbook, which I think is Pinkie Pie, to give her the superlative that she wanted. When Sunset Shimmer comes back and is human once again, she tries to shake down Trixie for the stone. And Trixie's like, what are you talking about? What is this? I don't know what this is. Some stone? That would be cool to have, but I don't know what that is. Which leads Sunset Shimmer to conclude she really doesn't know what she's talking about. So they team up to try to find the person that's actually using the memory erasing stone. Yeah. I'll give you a quick guess as to who it is.
I actually really like this because it does set up like a half a mystery of is it Trixie or is it the other new character? And then halfway through the movie it's like, oh yeah, it's like she's teaming up with Trixie, so it's definitely Wallflower Blush. But then you get this really interesting, like, buddy cop story where Trixie's like a really good foil for Sunset Shimmer.
Yes, their dynamic is actually really good. And yeah. Trixie, to Sunset's great shock, is the only person who, like, kind of accepts her. Even after having her memory erased about her becoming a nice person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Trixie's very morally neutral. She's very chaotic neutral. Which I think is why she is a fan favorite villain. And if you want to see more of her, Jeremy Whitley is currently doing My Little Pony Nightmare Nights, which he described as My Little Pony Suicide Squad. And I believe Trixie's in that.
After some sleuthing, Trixie and Sunset figure out that Wallflower Blush is behind this. In particular, they discover that Wallflower Blush is using the garden that she has constructed on the grounds of the school because she is the only member and founder of the gardening club to house the memory erasing stone. And to hide stuff. Also, Twilight Sparkle, in doing some more research, has discovered that by the end of that night, if the stone is not destroyed, everybody's erased memories will be permanent.
Yeah, it is 3 days, in a cruel mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ and his crucifixion and resurrection.
Well, it was real devil magic there from those ponies.
I might be thinking about vampires.
It's all the same to me. Sunset approaches Wallflower and asks her, "Why are you doing this? What did I ever do to you? Give me the stone." And Wallflower sings a song that basically says, "Nobody's ever noticed me. You don't know what it's like to be overlooked. Blah, blah, blah." And as she's singing that song, Sunset is trying to find the stone in Wallflower's bag. Wallflower notices this, stops her song midstream, pulls out the stone, and deletes both Sunset and Trixie's memories of finding out that she had the stone.
Yes. There's also a really, I think, a key part here, which is that Sunset is about to murder her. Sunset goes, "Oh, you want me to be mean again? I'm going to show you how mean I can be."
She
loses her temper.
She gets mad, yeah.
Yeah.
After the memory erasing happens this time, Wallflower has left the yearbook office, leaving Sunset and Trixie behind, locked in. They're locked inside. They don't know what's going on. They don't remember who has the stone. Seems like a bit of an oversight to just erase the memory of who has the stone instead of erasing the memory of the stone entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the case, we find out that Sunset has done a clever thing, like Clover the Clever, and written down what happened.
Well, she didn't write it down, Matt, because this is the 90s.
Oh, it's the go-go 90s, yes.
Right. It's so she has it all. Like, she has the whole song. The whole scene is recorded on her phone, including the song, which is commented on, which is great. Which the Trixie watches it and goes, "Wow, that's a long song," and like skips over it so we don't have to hear it again. It's very good.
So they know now again that Wallflower is responsible for erasing the memories.
Mm-hmm.
Trixie does a magical trick to get Sunset out of the office, which they've been locked in. For some reason, Sunset doesn't just open the door from the other side to let Trixie out.
This is a step. This is the worst. I'm going to say it's the worst part of the movie. Because it is established early, and it's very clearly a working backwards situation, that they need a key to get out of the yearbook room, which that is not how doors work in public places. That's a fire hazard. You can't do that.
Yeah, and again, Sunset is outside the door, so she could open the door.
Yeah.
But instead,
I do like that Trixie appears to now be capable of shoot magic.
Yes, absolute 100% teleportation magic.
Yeah.
But Trixie ends up trapped in the room and tells Sunset to just go to find Wallflower. Sunset goes running off and finds Wallflower heading to the garden to bury the stone so that all the memories can be erased permanently. When she gets there, she says, "Wallflower, I still know it was you that took the stone. Hand it over. I also understand that I was mean to you and I shouldn't have been."
Yeah. Because the realization that Sunset and Trixie came to is Trixie goes, "Yeah, she's right. Like, you didn't do anything to her, but you also were never nice to her. Like, you didn't remember anything about her. And you've made this big deal of, you know, you're good now, but being good is not just not being mean. It's also being nice," which is an interesting lesson. And I think a worthwhile one, but also it's definitely a lot of, so it makes it okay that this person used a magic to erase your memories.
Well, Wallflower's reaction to this is to not be like, "Oh, okay." Instead, she says, "All right, I just didn't erase enough memories, I guess. So I'm going to erase all of the Pony Girl's memories of You, Sunset Shimmer completely.
No, she says she's going to erase all their memories of high school.
Which is, yeah, even a farther fetch.
Which I had so many questions. Because first of all, for all we know, this is a universe of high school. Like, it is what the world is built around.
Right.
Second, would they just forget, like, algebra? And, like, would they forget, like, the things they learned? Would they need to go back to, like, eighth grade?
Yeah, would they forget about Portrait of a Lady?
Functionally, the deal is that they are going to forget each other. And they will no longer be friends because right. They won't have those memories.
And being the hero that she is, Sunset Shimmer dives in front of her friends and takes the bullet.
Takes the bullet, which does not work instantly for some reason.
But does lead her to crawl around on her on all fours, because now she thinks she's a pony again.
Wait, did that happen? I missed that.
Absolutely happened.
Oh my god, that is bonkers.
All her high school,
I think that might be when I went up to get my ice cream.
All her high school memories got taken away, and so she forgets being a person. And she goes back into pony mode, even though she still looks like a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads the rest of the Pony Girls to be like, oh, even though we don't remember Sunset Shimmer being nice, that act of sacrifice clearly means that she's a good person now. So we are going to pony up and just wreck the shit out of Wallflower.
Pinkie Pie literally goes, light her up, ladies.
That actually happens.
Yeah, and that's after a very cool thing. Twilight Sparkle starts giving a speech and does the Sailor Moon I'll punish you motions, but gets cut off right before she gets to the I'll punish you part. The I'll shuck you?
In doing so, they destroy the stone. Thereby,
I absolutely missed this part, but yeah, she is completely like on the ground being like, what horrible creature am I?
Yeah. They destroy the stone, and thereby everyone's memory is restored. And Sunset gives a fuller speech about how, no, I wasn't mean to you, but I ignored you, and I wasn't nice to you. I didn't do enough. I should have been better to you, Wallflower. I'm sorry. Which brings Wallflower into the group. They finish putting together the yearbook. The yearbook gets published. Wallflower is part of the team, even though she does not appear in the next special.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out, oh dang it, the group of the best friends picture is next to Horseface Muscle Guy. So when you close the yearbook, it looks like they're kissing. All right, Chris, what are our high points of these Equestria Girls specials?
I really enjoyed the plot of Forgotten Friendship because it makes perfect sense given what we know about this world, right? Because the worst thing that can happen in this world is you lose your friendship. And so that is a devastating blow. And I think all of the characters react to it in a very compelling way that makes sense. And it's got a lot of good drama.
And it makes Sunset Shimmer a compelling protagonist.
Yeah, Sunset Shimmer having that moment of maybe I'm not a good person and having to like go search for outside validation is a real relatable thing, I think. Like,
yeah, I don't know how on purpose it is that Sunset is de facto the protagonist of the series and is a villain who's been redeemed instead of a hero throughout. But I think it's one of the things that clearly differentiates this story from the stories you get on the regular My Little Pony friendship show, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched it in a while, but yes. I really like that in becoming a hero, we see that, like, Sunset's still got a temper. That actually comes up in both of these. Like, she's the one who gets really mad at the bottle game. And I really like that because all of the Equestria Girls versions of these characters are so reduced to one thing, right? Like, girl Twilight is a huge nerd. And girl Applejack is just kind of a bumpkin. The character development that actually exists on the mainline show is not there, except in Sunset Shimmer, who we know is like, has anxiety about her past. She's got like a real hard time. She is never she became good, but never forgot she used to be bad, which you do not see often in like a show that is straight up for babies.
It's complex characterization in a way that you would not expect from this kind of show. I also appreciated the attempt at world building from a particularly forgotten friendship, where we don't find out more about the Equestria Girls world, but we do find out more about how it relates to the original My Little Pony world.
Yeah, which is something that cracks this wide open is that Clover the Clever came to this world and buried magic here.
Yes, and also something we didn't discuss when we talked about the special. Twilight herself notices the differences, where she's like, "Who is the pony horse? Who's like all black?" Who I think is the vice principal.
That's Princess Luna. Vice Principal Luna in the Equestria Girls world.
Okay, so Vice Principal Luna, or when Princess Luna is talking about like wars in history, Sunset Shimmer is like, you're usually talking about, you know, who gets to park in the parking lot.
Yeah, she says, like, yeah, I'm so used to hearing you say that students shouldn't park in the faculty lot. And then Princess Luna goes, this faculty lot sounds like a place of great power, which is a very choice joke.
It is the best joke in either of these.
It's very good.
All right, Chris, what are our low points?
I'm going to say the moral of forgotten friendship is actually a low point. Because, look, it's great to be nice. We should all take care to be actively good to the people around us and to the world around us. I get that. But you also cannot make everyone your project. And, like, it is not Sunset Shimmer's fault that this person found a magic item and used it for revenge against a completely imagined slight.
When Sunset Shimmer doesn't even ever think about her. Doesn't even know who she is.
Like, yeah, look, sucks for her, but like, that's not like telling people like, no, you have to take responsibility if anyone around you does anything. Like, that's not a great moral, I don't think.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between being polite. You should be polite to everyone, right?
Yeah.
And being nice, being actively nice to someone or actively like engaging with them. That may be a bridge too far. You can't engage with everyone.
Yeah. It's weird to, like, have the moral be insist that other people have a right to your time when they don't. And it is, you know, kindness that you give to them by giving them your time. But, you know, it's a kindness.
Roller coaster of friendship is a mess.
It's a mess.
And is weirdly disposable, especially right after Forgotten Friendship.
Yeah, I don't know why Forgotten Friendship has such a linear plot. You know, it's A, B, C, D. Everything makes sense. Everyone reacts like they should. It's all one continuous plot. And Roller Coaster of Friendship is like A to B to square. Like, it's so much weird stuff is going on. It's got so many different plots.
And none of them really converge, you know?
None of them converge.
It feels weird to be making these criticisms of a show that, as you said, is for babies. But, like, Forgotten Friendship kind of gets there.
Yeah.
So if you're watching Roller Coaster Friendship right after, you kind of have to make the comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Forgotten Friendship, aside from the dubiousness of taking the moral to its extreme, is pretty, like, it's solid. It's enjoyable, and it builds on the continuity, which we both appreciate.
I'll also say the animation in these, it's not bad. But you can tell that they are going for a more TV kind of quality than the animation that was in the movies.
Yeah, we had that thing on Blu-ray.
I mean, like, the movies have, like, complicated transformation sequences and cool opening credits sequences and music videos, basically. And the animation in these is pretty much all standard, same TV kind of animation.
Yeah, I'd say. These feel like weekly episodes of a TV show that are 44 minutes long for some reason.
It feels like...
What if My Little Pony was an hour-long drama?
They even had act breaks in them, yeah. Like commercial breaks. It feels like they were two-parters, kinda. The other low point, this might be a bit of a hot take. I didn't like any of the music in these.
I was not... It's very, let's sing the plot. I was not a fan.
But beyond even the lyrics, I didn't think the actual musicality of the music was good. And was certainly a step below the musical stuff from the movies.
Yeah, I would say so. I like the theme song. It's pretty catchy. But not the actual music within the show.
All right, Chris, it's time for our final thoughts about My Little Pony, Equestria Girls, Forgotten Friendship, and Roller Coaster of Friendship.
So if Clover the Clever, who existed pre-Equestria, so like over 1,000 years ago...
He's one of the founders of Equestria.
Yeah, so Celestia imprisons Luna in the moon 1,000 and, I guess, 7 years ago. And if she's not the first ruler of Equestria, I mean, she might be, because she is immortal. 1,000 years ago, Clover the Clever, a powerful horse wizard, came to the Equestria girl, to the Earth girl, and started disposing of magic here? Do I have that right, Matt?
It would seem to be the case. And we'll just have to keep watching to learn any answers we can learn.
I mean, that's a good premise. That there's weird horse magic from another dimension just everywhere. Because our universe is the dumping ground of this other magic dimension.
All right, Chris, here's the big question.
Uh-huh.
Do you anticipate that any of this will ever be resolved?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I feel like every time one of these comes out, we get another piece of it.
Yeah. Yeah. This one feels like it gave us a big piece.
That's the thing that gets me. Every time one of these comes out, we get a piece.
We've also gone from movies to a short mini-series of half-hour episodes.
Like an OAV.
To a two-part series of one-hour specials. What sort of distribution method will we be seeing next?
I think webisodes.
Now, they've already done some webisodes, some YouTube episodes a while back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that there could be more of that coming. I am interested in getting radio dramas.
Interesting.
So we'll find out what kind of media the next My Little Pony Equestria Girls story comes through. And whatever it does, we'll watch it or listen to it or however it comes to us. And with that, we're going to wrap up our November episode of Movie Fighters. We will be back in December with a holiday treat.
Hey, I'm pretty sure we're just going to do that Kurt Russell Santa movie, right?
We're definitely doing that Kurt Russell Santa movie.
Yeah, we're just going to do that Kurt Russell Santa movie.
That might be one we end up liking. Our website was designed by Sean Baugus. Our music was composed by Michael Kill. The Snack Situation theme is by Matt Fisher. As I mentioned, we'll be back in December talking about that Kurt Russell Santa movie. Until then, everybody, happy holidays.
This has been a Kaleidos Media production.